This podcast is Challenging Opinions and is presented by William Campbell.
Thank you for downloading the Challenging Opinions podcast for September 18th, 2017. The alt-right burst into mainstream political consciousness last year, but it, along with an assortment of other semi-related right-wing ideologies, had been bubbling under for some time before that. In this podcast, I'll talk to the editor-in-chief of one of its major websites.
Challenging Opinions is the podcast where ideas are tested. Whether you are left or right, conservative or progressive, devout or skeptic, what matters is the strength of your argument, not the strength of your voice.
The YouTube channel Black Pigeon Speaks has about 230,000 subscribers. Now, standard metrics that you can get on the internet would indicate that on that basis, it could make between $20,000 and $100,000 a year if advertising was available on all their videos. More about that later, but the channel is really excellently produced. It's got very high production values, very professional graphics, and I have the editor-in-chief of the channel, Heather Jones, on the line now. Heather, what's the thinking behind your Black Pigeon Speaks channel?
Mostly, so I wasn't the one who started the channel. I'm kind of like 50% of the team. But the general idea about the channel is that we really kind of like want to make a difference with the topics that we cover. I think that our main goal is that we know that we're not going to change the world, but I think it's just the act of putting ourselves out there and standing up for what we believe in.
What is that?
And I mean, we are both very different people, me and Black Pigeon, definitely. But I think two things that we can maybe both agree on is Western values we think are very important to keep, and probably the aspect of tradition that the Western countries have kind of like formed over the many thousands of years.
When you say Western values, explain to me what you mean. Western in contrast to what exactly?
I think that is quite an open-ended question, but I think the big ones that we would definitely stand for is the ability to have free speech and free thought, as well as we are very aware and we're very prideful of the fact that the Western world is probably, well, it is the most advanced culture in the world at the moment. Just regarding rights for both men and women, and the way that maybe people are treated, and they are things that we believe that we need to protect. You know, because we worked so hard to kind of achieve equality and alter equality, that we need to protect it, and that's not how it is in especially like parts of the East, where especially women are still quite oppressed.
And, sure, there's one headline on your channel from a couple of months ago, which says, "Dear feminists, your multiculturalism is taking away your rights." It's fair to say there's a strong anti-feminist theme in the channel. Would that be right?
Yeah.
And. How can you justify that? What do you have to back that up?
I mean, I'm a 20-year-old woman, and I think when I say to people, especially my peers, "Oh, I'm not a feminist," you know, people freak out and they automatically go to, "Oh, like women like fought for so long for like the rights that you have now." And like, I know that, and I'm very, very grateful for those women for doing that and the men who fought for it as well. But the truth is that right now, the modern woman really doesn't need feminism. We have won, as far as I'm concerned, all of the battles that we had. You know, we have laws protecting us. We have equal pay. We are seen as equals in society. And in a lot of ways, we're seen as kind of like better than being equal. We're seen as better than men. So I am definitely grateful for what feminism did stand for and what it has done for me. But I just think that it's quite unnecessary at the moment.
Hold on for just that for one moment, because I want to take an excerpt from one of your videos. What do you think exactly of this?
If women's sexual preferences are liberated and go unchecked, they destroy civilizations. If women are allowed a voice in matters that pertain to the safety of a nation, then that nation will die, inevitably. It's as simple as that. Once you realize this, you understand the entire basis behind civilized society. Women do not, on an instinctual level, care very much about her tribe, nation, or civilization. It's in their nature not to. Women are biological creatures like all others, and they seek to maximize their chances of having viable offspring. This half-century-long experiment of women's liberation and political enfranchisement has ended in disaster for the West. And the damage done to the West may be irreparable.
That's from a video which is explicitly advocating that women should not be permitted, not alone not to vote, but to have any power at all in society.
Yes. That's a really interesting video because that is one of my favourite videos, actually, because I do agree with some ideas about women, maybe that we are too liberated at the moment. But that piece that you just played, as I said at the very beginning, like, me and Black Pigeon, we don't see eye to eye on things. And that's definitely something that we don't see eye to eye on. I am a strong believer as a woman that women can be strong, we can be successful, and our voices are so important. And I believe that we do have the ability to make good decisions, whether that's in the workplace, whether that's in government. But I think when I say that, I mean that every woman kind of comes across like a crossroads in their life. And I think women either need to choose being that woman with a strong voice who wants to kind of like have that really large impact in society, such as like being a politician, or choose, you know, marriage and motherhood. I don't think that it's really realistic to have both.
But so I think, Heather, I can understand. Maybe you don't see eye to eye. I can very well understand you might not see eye to eye with your collaborator on that. But there's a very strong theme, and I've tried to watch quite a few of the videos on the channel to prepare for this. There's a very strong theme of criticism of Islam, and that's kind of a fashionable thing, although it has been bubbling under the surface for a few years. It's perhaps come to the fore more recently. But the one thing that strikes me is that where this criticism is coming from, what might be called the alt-right, and people use different terms, and I don't want to particularly label anybody, but a new anti-left, anti-feminist, anti, shall we say, multicultural or progressive agenda, what really strikes me is that it's almost a mirror image of what it proclaims to oppose, particularly in Islam. People claim that, you know, Muslims cannot be allowed to immigrate to the West because they don't share our values of, like you said, equality for women and so forth. And these are the people who go marching through Charlottesville, shouting about Jews and flying swastikas.
That's actually something that I've been thinking about recently. I do make sure that I don't kind of like put myself in a box. I do kind of maybe like to look at both sides of something. And I do criticise the group that I'm part of. I'm definitely not alt-right. I think I do consider myself as more like traditionalist right-wing. And I really do see your point with that one. But I think I can only speak for myself, really. But I think for me, when I talk about maybe women being too liberated and
if you say being permitted to vote is not too liberated, what then is too liberated for women?
I think the fact that, you know, we have slut walks when, you know, it's socially acceptable for women to like walk the streets with their tops on and have
scantily dressed, essentially.
Bare. And I think maybe for me, like, too liberated is the fact that women pretty much can wear as little as they like, you know, and they still scream to be respected. And it's like, I believe that is too liberated, and maybe that is kind of like my traditional values getting in the way.
Hold on with that, Heather, because that, I mean, whatever you think of it, and I wouldn't necessarily think very much of the fashion choices, but that sprung out of a particular incident in Canada where a Canadian policeman explicitly said that a woman being raped in a specific rape case, that was the fault of the woman because of the way that she was dressed. Mm-hmm. And that tends to lend credence to a system of beliefs that men are some sort of uncontrollable beasts who don't have any power of thinking and are just being controlled. That's really Stone Age thinking, isn't it?
I believe that men should obviously be brought up to respect women, and I think respect goes both ways. Something that I've been kind of like trying to write about, but I can't really get right yet. This idea that I have is that women, I don't think that women can ask to be respected when they don't respect themselves and they don't have that respect themselves to maybe...
Sure. No,
dress.
No, Heather, respected is one thing, but raped is something different. This is a criminal offence. Would you accept that there is nothing within the law that a woman can do that justifies her being raped?
I think that every sexual assault case is very different, but I think it's... I mean... Obviously, I don't know correct statistics, so I'm just going out on a limb here for everyone to hate me. But I think even though women do get raped and sexually assaulted when they are maybe like completely covered up, I think that's probably less likely. I think, you know, a lot of, I mean, I'm not obviously going to say any names, but I think a lot of women that I know who kind of like charged men for rape, women automatically go to that thing like, oh, like,
can I challenge that specifically, Heather?
Yeah.
Because one of the tropes, and I think there is some degree of truth to it, but one of the tropes that you will hear from, I don't want to use the term alt-right, but that the new right, let's say, to use a broader label, is that if there exists a rape culture, it's in Islamic society where women are frequently covered to head, you know, from head to toe, and essentially they're walking tents. So that would tend to undermine that point.
But there is a rape culture in those countries because of the way men treat women, and because women don't have equality, and they really don't have that freedom, and because that culture kind of like... and the religions that are in that culture, they promote that disrespect of women. I said earlier about, I was talking about kind of like sexual assault in the Western world and like what happens to the modern women. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I strongly believe that every case is different. And of course, there are men out there who just really disrespect women.
Can I just put one other clip to you in that case? Actually, before I do that, there's a lot said on your channel and about quality, and essentially the channel presents itself as having, it obviously does have high production standards, but also presents itself as having high standard academic standards and high standards of accuracy. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, there's one clip here that I want to play you.
It's so much a part of women's psyche to want the scoundrel that it's wrapped up in their very DNA. Yes, I am aware that the vast majority of women, when raped, reach sexual climax or orgasm.
Now, that on the screen when that was that clip is said, there is what appears to be a reference. Now, I followed that up, and it took me about 30 seconds to work out that this was based on a hoax, which was entirely false. It is the first hit when you search for that in Google, and it's very clear that that is entirely false, and that it's an absolute, it's just a hoax, the very definition of false news. Mm-hmm. Where someone is grasping for facts, in inverted commas, to support their contention so desperately that they believe something that's so obviously false, that really does seem to claim that 87% of women orgasm when they are raped. That really does seem to be saying the old saying, you really wanted it.
I think, I am not responsible for the content that goes into the videos. I don't deal with the videos at all, so I really can't comment on that. I don't say what goes. So I have no comment. But regarding that statistic, I mean, I have seen arguments, arguing like why, that would happen. And I honestly don't have much to say about it, just because I don't think that I'm informed enough.
Okay, you are the editor-in-chief of the channel?
No, I'm the editor-in-chief of the website.
Oh, okay, on which the videos are hosted.
Yes, and I'm the editor of blackpigeonspeaks.com, where people can submit their articles be published, and I also publish my own writing.
Okay, there's a couple of other things that I have to say on that, and one is that I didn't do a very extensive trawl on it, and one of the reasons I didn't, why I didn't, was because whenever I started watching, I felt the need to fact check stuff, and everything I came across, there was a very high hit rate in finding things that were just false. And let me just go to one here.
In studies across the Western world, and for the purposes of this presentation, using studies from the UK as well as France, average IQ is declining on aggregate and is a cause for concern.
And there's a whole video based on this presumption that the average IQ is declining. The problem is that's entirely false. There is what's called the Flynn effect. And average IQ for the past 80 years since it's been measured has generation on generation been increasing. And this is supported by literally thousands of psychological and psychometric tests. You can understand, I'm very concerned that something that looks very professional, that unless somebody actually sits down and fact checks everything, which is not what somebody typically does when they read an article, they would get an impression that's radically different to the truth.
I mean, as I said, I have no say what goes into the videos. I literally only sometimes get, oh, like, I'm doing a video about this. I cannot comment. I can't make a comment because I don't deal with the channel.
Okay, but just as a human being, surely you'd be concerned with that.
Yes, of course. But I think that, obviously, if you watch a video, if you read anything on the internet, I don't think you should 100% believe it. And I think it's, you should always have that kind of like healthy curiosity and want to challenge those things. But I'm not going to throw him under the bus at all. So I have no further comment, really.
Okay. Let's go to some of the things that you said yourself. For example, on your Twitter channel, one of your tweets just says, women are to blame for creepy men. What did you mean by that?
It was in, I think that was in reference to one of my articles on the website. Yeah, so it was, I basically had that idea that women are to blame for creepy men. I mean, my Twitter is, I mean, always take what I say with a pinch of sarcasm. My Twitter is
sure. Well, go ahead and explain it.
20-year-old girl being sarcastic. Place.
Hang on a second. Your dad gets to give that excuse about you. You don't get to give it yourself. In any case, explain what you were saying.
I came across a statistic that I did actually fact check. Mm-hmm. that one in six women will be the victim of an attempted assault, just attempted, or and a completed assault. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of like mixed together in that statistic. And I think that's something that I've been really aware of, because obviously of my peers, and obviously because I'm a young woman.
How does that make women to the blame for creepy men?
Oh, so in the article, I just kind of like went through how I personally think we've got into that situation, and how women play the part in it, because I think at the moment we're very kind of like heavy set on just putting all of the blame on men, and no one ever like steps back and says, oh, like, can we look at it, if we're all about equality, can we please look at it from both sides, which is how I think that you get a fair side of the story.
Sure, yeah, and I'm all in favour, and I'm more than happy to give you as much space as you need to explain whatever you want to explain, but I really want to understand this, because it seems to me to follow the same direction of argument as the she was raped because she was wearing a short skirt idea.
I mean, so in my article, I start off by saying, I mean, there will always be creepy men. Till, you know, the world ends, there will always be the creepy men. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason. But I think that if we concentrate on maybe part of the problem, why maybe there are so many men who do disrespect women and treat them as objects, we can hopefully create a safer environment for women and men, because men are also victims of sexual assault and sexual violence. And I had this idea. I mean, everything that I write, I mean, that is just me kind of like throwing out ideas and playing with my different opinions on things. I'm not a professional like sociologist or psychologist or anything like that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just me exploring what is going on around me. And I feel like, you know, in the past, like 20 to 30 years, pop culture, you know, Hollywood, have been kind of like re-pushing that narrative that like sex sells, like less is more, and it's, you know, it's lost that shock value, which I think, as I said earlier, about kind of like women being able to dress so scandalously, women be able to, you know, dress however they want and be kind of like very slutty. Mm-hmm. And that's considered like okay. And I think in general, in a society, that innocence is being lost. I think obviously that's clear in, I read this statistic that really shocked me and really made me sad, that basically boys and girls are losing their virginity like earlier, you know, like 14 like, is the normal age to lose your virginity. Mm-hmm. Which I think is quite sad. And I think
I think it would be, although I think self-reported statistics about teenage sexuality are probably the least reliable statistics that you could get anywhere.
I totally like agree with that, but I think
to just move on a little bit, are you a racist?
No.
Do you think that any of the writing in the channel is racist?
No, I think racist is a word that people like to kind of like throw about a lot.
Well, I'm not throwing it, I'm asking it.
You know, I mean, I cannot speak for Black Pigeon, but I don't think that I'm racist, and I don't think that he is a racist, you know.
Okay. The reason I ask that, and I think it's valid to ask, is because I've got, and I don't have enough time to go through them all in the podcast, but I have a slew of errors here, some of them very serious. All of them are in the same direction, and all of them are essentially to denigrate people who are not white. And
I mean,
if they were just simple errors, carelessness, you'd expect those to be random and to sum up to zero. But all of them are going the same direction. I want to give you just one example here.
Sadiq Khan has stated that terrorist attacks are part and parcel of living in a major city.
This is talking about Sadiq Khan, who's the mayor of London. Yeah. And Donald Trump Jr. tweeted some time back, part fabricated and part misquoted quote to the effect that Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, who is a Muslim, had said that people should accept terrorism. Now, I've got the quote in front of me here, and there's no question about it that A, he was being misquoted, and B, what he was saying was the direct reverse of what he was being accused of. And there's an entire section of a video based on this. And what Sadiq Khan said was that people should cooperate with the police and accept security measures because, and this is a direct quote, we must never accept terrorists being successful. We must never accept that terrorists can destroy our life. That's what Sadiq Khan actually said. How do you make that sort of a mistake?
I mean, as I said, I cannot take responsibility for what he does or he says. You know, he is very much his own person, as I am my own person. I would comment if I knew, you know, but I can't. I'm not with him 24/7, and I can't control what he says or what he does.
I understand, but for yourself, are you not even slightly uneasy when something that is so plainly untrue and has a whole slew of argument based on it is included in the channel?
I mean, it may make me a terrible person, but I believe that at the core of the channel, you know, I think that the things that we're standing for, free speech, the right to think freely, and trying to save Western culture and to preserve the
Save Western culture from what?
The immigration and the terrorist crisis that happens in the Western world at the moment.
To what end?
To what is happening right now, the extreme violence, the high terrorist threats, the high terrorism, acts of terrorism that are happening.
You see, Heather, the way I would view it is that I absolutely believe in Western values. I believe in democracy. I believe in equality. I believe in particular, in due process, in the rule of law. Mm-hmm. And there are valid criticisms to be made of there a large amount of criticisms to be made of mostly most of the Islamic world, in the sense that those things, freedom of speech, the rule of law, due process, and so forth, do not exist there or exist in a much degraded form. And if somebody was saying, hang on a second, if you have a large number of immigrants from Islamic countries, you want to be careful to make sure that in those Enlightenment values are preserved. But it seems to me that the people who are, including your channel, who are jumping up and down and making the most amount of noise and directing the most amount of hostility towards Muslims, are people who have no allegiance at all to Western values, who have no allegiance at all to the rule of law, and certainly not to the to a clear thinking way of analysing problems and getting at the truth. Do you have an allegiance to that?
I definitely do, and I can only really speak for myself.
I'm happy for you to speak for yourself, but to me, there is a dichotomy between standing up for the rule of law, for the Enlightenment values, and simple racism against brown people. And when the people who are most virulently against Muslim immigration and Muslim countries are people who have no apparent allegiance to the rule of law and the Enlightenment values, it has to be something else. And the only thing that I can see left is racism.
I do not have a problem with the immigrants who are willing to go through legally. I don't have a problem with the immigrants that are willing to shape themselves to the culture that they are entering. If I was an immigrant, I would expect myself to have an open mind and kind of like want to integrate into that culture. Mm-hmm. I I don't have a problem with those people at all. I have a problem with the radical people who are dead set on destroying my country for whatever reason. I have a problem with the fact that a few months ago, outside my office, there was a man with a gun threatening to shoot people. You know, that's mm-hmm. what I have a problem with. It's, for me, it's well, not... Well,
then Sadiq Khan would have to be an absolute poster boy. I mean, Sadiq Khan is the mayor of London. He's made it very clear that he's the mayor for everyone. He, for example, he's marched in the Gay Pride March in London. And on your channel, you attribute to him quotations that he didn't say that are clearly designed to imply that he has sympathies with terrorism.
I have a problem with the way you're trying to make the way that you're trying to make it about race, and I'm saying it's not about race.
If it's not about race, I'm fine with that, but then what is it about?
It's about the values. I mean it's not my fault that people from these Eastern cultures and the Islamic culture happen to not be white. If they were white, I'd still have a problem with the terrorist acts that they were doing, like, I assure you.
But what problem do you have with Sadiq Khan? You tweeted specifically, one of your tweets, and this is your tweet, not from okay. the channel, says, shooting, stabbings, acid attacks across London, and GQ magazine awards Sadiq Khan Politician of the Year.
That was something that I retweeted. It wasn't actually my tweet.
Sure, but it's clearly retweeted approvingly.
Yes.
But if Sadiq Khan, who is a Muslim,
but what is he doing about the problems?
Well, he is the mayor of London, and he is.
But what is he doing?
Well, he
because
clearly
it's only
demonstrated
getting
that.
Worse.
Well, he has a limited amount of powers, but he has clearly demonstrated that his allegiance is on the side of democracy.
And it's all very well saying it, but I think you need to follow through and do like what you say. You know, like you need to stand behind your words.
What has he not done that you would...
He needs to use his voice, his powerful voice that he has in Parliament, to say, look, we need to look at the facts. We need to look at the people who are doing these attacks. We need to look at where the problem lies, you know. And we don't... The problem is, I am a strong believer, like, people don't need to die, you know. People don't... There doesn't need to be mass violence for this to be solved, you know. I think we need to deal with the problem and we need to face the facts. And it's not racist because, I mean, for me, I can only speak for myself, it's not about race, you know. For some people it is, you know. There are genuine racist people in the community that I consider myself part of. But for me, it's about my values as a traditionalist. It's about my values as someone who's living in the Western world, and I don't see him doing anything to kind of prevent this from happening. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know that we have all
but
these
he has explicitly condemned this. He's explicitly mm-hmm. said
but what is he doing, like, well, physically? Is he going to Parliament saying, right, we need to look at what's happening?
He's not a member of Parliament, but he's been very clear that
he has the power to put his voice out there into Parliament. He has the power to talk to the people who have the right to say, oh, we'll go ahead with this. You know, he needs to use...
Can you give me something specific that he could have done that he didn't?
He needs to do more than just saying
specifically? Give me one thing. If
he needs to use his connections and want to tackle this head on, he needs to
give me a specific.
I mean, obviously he can't maybe call up Theresa May and say, you need to sort this out, but he
seemed to be fairly clear that he was doing that.
But what's happening?
For example, in the London Bridge attack in Britain, within something like 6 minutes of the attack, the attackers were dead because of the efficiency of the police. There doesn't seem to, which is under his control, there doesn't seem to be any problem with that. And indeed, one thing, and just my assistant producer just pointed out to me here, that in fact you wrote an article as well attributing this false quote to him. Would you even be, and you, in the right at the top of your article, you've got the false quote. Would you be good enough to say that that was wrong and to apologise for that?
I mean, if I make a mistake, I will always own up to that. I think, you know, I'm always learning.
You have in double, you have in quotation marks, it says terror attacks are part and parcel of living in a big city, - Sadiq Khan, Mayor of London. He didn't say that. He said that security requirements were part and parcel of living in a big city like London, and that the people should cooperate with them in order to eliminate or to suppress terrorism.
And sometimes I'm wrong, you know, the information that I got, that I read, was obviously false for whatever reason, whether it's for a vindictive reason or it was a mistake.
The original error comes from Donald Trump Jr., which is possibly an even less reliable source than others close to him.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's in the past and everyone makes mistakes, you know, and it doesn't make what I'm saying about other things any less reasonable, you know.
Okay, but there's no correction on this article.
Because once it's on the internet, it's there forever. And I think...
Oh, it's on your website. You're the editor-in-chief. Yeah, you can add a correction. That's quite common in newspapers.
Something that I strongly believe in, if only selfishly for my own personal benefit, is that I think that it's really important to kind of show your growth in what you do. And I think that, you know, when I'm older, I mean, even now, I can look back and look at the journey that I've had. I don't want to cover up my mistakes. I'm very transparent. I think I pride myself in being transparent. And I think that's also because of, you know, personal growth.
Heather, that's very
people
laudable.
People make mistakes.
Heather, I understand that. And I think it's reasonable to take into account, I'm making myself sound old, but I think it's reasonable to take into account that you're fairly young and that you've actually, in whatever context, achieved quite a lot and that you have quite a widely known channel.
I'm learning, you know.
That's fair enough. But it is the norm amongst mainstream press that if a correction is made, if an error is found, then a correction is added at least to the top of an article. And
yes.
I'm just to go away from that immediate issue. But first of all, you're by a very wide margin not the only person to have made that error. But do you not fear that this is contributing to a toxic environment whereby every half-heard misquote that seems to serve a particular agenda, particularly doing down somebody in public life who's a Muslim, for example, mm-hmm. gets endlessly retweeted, reblogged, reposted in a whole right-wing ecosphere, mm-hmm. and people begin to believe it. There are a whole set of completely false beliefs out there.
Yeah, I think that's really dangerous. And I think I was very guilty of it when I first got involved in this community. And I will hold my hands up and say that. But I think, you know, as the months have gone by, and since the article that I've made a mistake in, I do kind of like pride myself on questioning things, you know. I have friends in this community, you know, we're constantly kind of like talking about it, and I'm quite cynical in a lot of ways just because I always question things, and I do actually do try to get the both sides. I do try and form my own opinions on things, and I do try to kind of like fact check things, and I do kind of like wonder, oh, like, is this actually true? And I think, you know, if you'd notice on my Twitter account, I mean, I'm not expecting anyone to scroll back like really far or anything, but now I don't really retweet anything that's got like massive retweets, just because I really don't want to jump on that bandwagon, if you know what I mean, mm-hmm. because things, they get taken out of context, and I don't want to be on that bandwagon of I'm retweeting this or I'm believing it because, you know, everyone else is.
Sure. One of the problems that I perceive at any rate And it's true, you're on the right, it's equally true on the left, I think. But the problem is of self-confirming biases, that people listen only to the people they agree with.
Yeah.
They all, and I'm sure that's what happened with the City Can, because I've seen that claim made a whole load of times, including by right-wing bloggers that are far larger and have far more resources than you do. Don't you think that, you say that you've become more questioning, don't you think you need to go a long way further down that road?
Yes, I think all the time I am becoming more mature in my responses to things, and I'm still learning. I'm still learning to question myself. I'm still learning to question others, on both sides.
What did you think? What did you think, Heather, when you saw the video of people who are most certainly on your side of the ideological fence, marching mm-hmm. through Charlottesville, many of them with swastika flags and other adaptions of neo-Nazi or just original Nazi emblems, shouting about Jews?
I think that was very stupid. And
sure, yeah, it was stupid. No. There's no question it was stupid. It was bad PR.
It was incredibly bad PR.
Yeah, but no. Let's leave aside PR. How did it make you feel? The actual, the fact that these are the people who view you as an ally?
I mean, that is the question within itself. But if they did see me as an ally...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that a lot of the apologia in your channel is something that they sympathise with.
It made me feel disappointed. But everyone thinks that their opinions are the best opinions to have. But I do respect other people's opinions. I think they are probably people that I don't really want to be friends with.
You say you respect everyone's opinions.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's any fair analysis of left-wing or liberal opinions on your channel?
As a whole, I wouldn't. No, not in the videos. Recently in my writing, I've kind of been playing devil's advocate a bit for the left, I think, just because obviously there are some things that I agree with that are considered like more left. I mean Black Pigeon is very different to me. I think that it will do him a world of good to be able to kind of like look at the left and constructively criticize them, and stuff like that. But I think that would go for everyone. I think it's very important for everyone to do that.
Heather, it'd be fair to say that any treatment of ideology on the other side of the fence is really cartoonish.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But do you think that aids understanding?
I think it does a little, but not a lot, no.
What do you hope to do in life, Heather?
I hope to be an author, not political books. I hope to be married, I hope to have children.
I should say, did I see on one of your tweets you're auditioning for a husband?
Yes.
How are those auditions going?
It's going great. I'm deeply heartbroken, but I'm aware that time is running out, so.
You're 20, what do you mean?
Well, when you get to 30, like, you shouldn't have kids after 30, so.
Says who?
What, science?
Biology tends to disagree.
No, but there's more of a chance of your children being severely affected when you're over 30, and there's more of a chance of you like being in danger when you're over 30.
Heather, I won't ask you to go for medical sources for that particular piece of information. But I'm thinking more career-wise, would you see yourself being a politician?
No. No.
And would you see yourself developing intellectually?
I hope so. I say that I am every day. I know that I'm clever now. But, you know, I think in life, if you're not looking for personal growth all the time, then you're doing life wrong.
Heather Jones, the editor-in-chief of blackpigeonspeaks.com, thank you very much for talking to me.
You're welcome.
Never miss a show. Follow at Challenging O on Twitter and like Challenging Opinions on Facebook for updates on each show's contents.
That's all for the Challenging Opinions podcast, published on September 18th, 2017. I have links to many of the things that I was discussing with Heather in the show notes for this podcast that you can find on the website. Do you know someone else who I should interview? What should I talk to them about? I'd be very interested to hear your feedback. And if you like the podcast, there's one thing that you could do that would really help other people to find it. Go on iTunes, give the podcast a rating, and write a short review. There's a link on the website directly to the iTunes page. Also, please like the show on Facebook. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Challenging O. You can also follow Heather Jones at Heather Louxise. And most importantly, subscribe to the show for free. You can use Apple Podcasts or Google Play or any other podcast app or software. There's links and an RSS feed for all of that on the website. And if you don't use a podcast app or software, you can subscribe by email. Just enter your email address on the Challenging Opinions website. Each time a new show goes online, you'll get a simple email with a link to listen, and no spam at all, I promise. You can find all of that or get in touch with me at www.challengingopinions.com. Coming up next Monday, that's September 25th, I'll be talking to Alex Narasta of the Cato Institute. The Challenging Opinions podcast is produced and presented by me, William Campbell. The assistant producer is Liam McLaughlin. Thank you for listening.